B-Pod Studios.
These guys know how to connect with you about Boston sports.
This may feel strong, but you people are stupid.
OMG. It's Felger and Maz, 95 The Sports Hub.
How much do you fear this cheating scandal will tarnish your 2018 World Series win?
I'll take that one. Given the directive from the commissioner's office, we're not going to discuss it. But again, we would, since the question's been repeated, I'll repeat that we would ask that people, fans, reserve judgment until we know what the MLB investigation reveals.
But as we stand here today, do you still believe you beat the Dodgers fair and square?
Absolutely.
Absolutely, yes.
All right, again, that's Sam Kennedy today at that press conference at Fenway announcing the firing of Alex Cora. Let me ask you guys something. Does this whole thing change their approach this offseason? In other words, if they were going to have to sell Mookie Betts or sell off on David Price, trim payroll, get under that collective bargaining tax, the CBT, is it competitive balance tax?
Yeah, balance tax.
The CBT, do you think that that's still in play or does this change it anyway?
This might change it.
I agree.
Yeah, it might change it. I mean, they can't go out and have a bad year now.
So, right, I hope it does. Like, and here's my rationale, is that one of the reasons to get under that CBT is because you're afraid of losing draft picks. That's one of the big punishments of being 3 years in the tax, that you lose those picks. You lose those picks or draft position, right? And these nerds are so horny for their draft picks and their draft position that they got to stay under the tax to avoid the draft picks. Well, the draft picks are going out the door, I guess. And if you're going to be losing first and second round picks like Houston, then don't worry about losing your draft position from the CBT because that punishment, you know, blows it out of the water. So your picks are already gone. You don't need to worry about that. Furthermore, just the PR fallout of this whole thing imploding, you know, just 13 months after winning the championship, the whole thing is in ruins. Now you're going to sell your best player, your MVP? It's like,
it feels like you almost can't. And they're so thirsty to be painted in a positive light that it almost forces their hand. Like, you've got to go all in.
So, right. So there's the PR element. Okay. The PR element that you can't throw bad on bad. But I also think, practically speaking, if you're losing draft picks anyway, the CBT punishment is really mitigated because you're, when it comes to the draft, you are boned for the next couple of years.
Total. Well, again, what if the penalties are less than we think?
Right. So, like, that's the mitigating factor. Do the Sox have something up their sleeve with this report from baseball? But assuming that the penalties are going to be in line with Houston's, well, you know, forget the CBT draft picks. This is worse. So, don't sell. How about add? Why don't you add and try and, you know, quiet the noise and, you know, turn the page by really contending? Don't sell. Go out and get an actual closer and fill out your bullpen and go for it.
Yeah, look, I can't see right now how they can afford a bad year. So, and not just because of the Cora thing. Last year, and it's not just because they won 84 games and finished 19 games out of first place. They were as irrelevant last year as I can ever remember. I can't remember. Murray, how many times did we say this?
Oh, yeah.
I think I said it a million times till I was blue in the face, Nick Cattles, on August and September. That
until my face turns blue.
Really? I can't remember a season in which the Red Sox never really came to the front of anyone's mind. Not really. They got off to a bad start. They were mediocre for a long period of time. They gave up at the deadline, and that was it. The only time it became interesting is when they fired the GM late in the year. That was it. So what are you going to follow up a year like that by going in with a team that you think is something less than stellar?
After this offseason?
Right. And after all of last year. I mean, it's like, you know, virtual suicide.
So I wonder if it changes their approach in the offseason. I hope it does. That'd be a nice answer. That'd be interesting. F you. We're going to go out and win. We're going to answer this by going out and winning.
That would make it fun.
Well, what's Gasper's line? Winning is the best deodorant. Like, that's, you know, they could apply that here because this team stinks right now.
they're going to need a lot of winning then.
But go on an FU tour. Oh, you think this? You think it's tainted? So you think we wouldn't have won if we cheated? Okay, here's the deal. This is what the Patriots would do. You know, all right, we'll fully inflate the footballs and we'll turn the cameras off and we'll still kick your ass. So go do that. Like, that'd be a nice story. I'd
sure
take that.
Would. Yeah, sure would. That'd be great.
So let's do that.
Go on a revenge tour, because those always work for the Patriots. Oh, wait. The revenge tour didn't work for the Patriots. All right.
But you know what I mean. But a successfully executed revenge tour can be kind of fun. So, you know what? Don't peel off your roster. Add to it. Because when it comes to your draft picks, you're toast.
Can I just add one little wrinkle to that theory?
Oh, I love your wrinkles, man.
That strategy? Can we still get rid of David Price?
Yeah, right. Like, no, I still think that's important, honestly.
Like, Price I would still get rid of.
Because that's a way also to turn the page. Remove the doo-doo. All right, so anyway, back to your phones. Mike in Florida. Go ahead, Mike.
How you doing, guys?
Good, Mike.
Somebody mentioned earlier about Dombrowski maybe being one of the rats. I doubt it very much, because people in sports, they care about two things. They care about money and legacy. And Dombrowski's legacy, he'd be tainting his own legacy.
This is true.
By ratting them out, because he would, instead of being a two-time World Series champ, he'd be a one-time definite World Series champ, and then the cheater the second time.
Yeah, fair point. Maybe he's not. I mean, it's a real sidebar. You know, who are the sources for the Athletic story? I honestly, at the end of the day, don't really care.
No, nor do I. I just, you know, I do wonder out of curiosity. Dombrowski didn't have another year in his deal. So it's not like he got fired and is still getting paid. Right? I mean, like, they
Well, but Mike's talking about he's hurting his own legacy because now his championship's tainted.
Yeah, is it really? Doesn't he still get on as a two-time World Series winner?
I'm just telling you, but that was his point. It had nothing to do with the contract.
No, I know. I don't know if I totally agree with it. He got screwed in a lot of ways. His deal ran out. He's not like Cora, where he's going to get paid for a few years.
As for the rat, Tim in Burlington has a theory. Yes, Tim?
Yeah, I think you guys keep saying that he got fired. I think he is the potential rat on the rest of the organization, as Murray and everybody said. This is so widespread. It's almost you need to catch me if you can type of character. And Cora knows where all the dead bodies and all the secrets are. And so he had to negotiate an agreement to leave.
Well, I think that, yeah, okay. But does that mean he was the source in the Athletic story? Is that what you're talking about?
No, he ratted himself out. Yeah.
Would you stop with this?
Yeah, perfect double cross.
But no, for him to get, you know, so I don't think he's been paid his full salary by the Red Sox. There's probably a settlement. There's probably somewhere in the middle between zero and what he was owed. And maybe some of his leverage is, you know, guys, I could go public with what was really going on here and everyone who was involved. So if you want to make me the fall guy, that's fine. Pay me. If you don't, then I'll tell everybody everything I know, everything. So he probably has some cards to play.
Oh, definitely sure. He does. Especially when he sits there and says, well, the MLB report on us hasn't come out yet. So you're firing me for something I did with another team? My contract with you talks about my conduct while I'm a member of the Red Sox. So I didn't, you know, I want the rest of my contract.
Yeah, I think he has some cards to play.
That's like what I would fight for that if I were him.
Mike in Worcester, your thoughts?
Yeah, 100% tainted. Belichick said it. You go into war, you're getting anything for a competitive advantage. At the end of the day, money, championships. We lead, you know, in recent years, we have led the league in, you know, championships, but that comes along with collateral damage, and they got caught. The only thing you're waiting for now is the Bruins and the Celtics going to stop being altar boys and catch up with the rest of the things and give us a little scandal and win. Have a good one, boys.
Yeah, Bruins need a little toughness. His comment line said everyone was doing it, which, again, I just want to rail against. I just think...
Oh, that's the classic deflect.
I just think it's so wrong. I don't think everyone was banging on garbage cans in the tunnel. I don't. And I don't believe everyone was using Apple Watches like you were. I don't believe everyone was warned and told not to do it again. And then you hired the biggest recidivist cheater in the league who then did it with you. I don't think every team does that. I don't think, I'll just repeat, that every team puts a guy like Jim McNally in the officials room alone with the footballs. I don't think every team does that. I don't think every team disguises their cameramen as Kraft Sports production employees with duct tape over logos and stolen media vests to tell officials that we're shooting scenics of the stadium when you're really filming the other coaches. I do not believe every team does that.
NFL photographer 138.
I don't believe it. I believe that is reserved for the select few who really push the boundaries. And that is categorically the Patriots and probably a few others. They're probably not alone, but it certainly ain't everyone. And in baseball, not everyone is running from the video room to the dugout and whistling or banging on something or consulting an Apple Watch on every pitch through the year. Nope, not everyone does that. I am sorry.
Independent of that, so you're opening a safe in somebody's apartment and someone busts you and you go, other people do it. Oh, so that makes it okay.
Sir, you may go. We will file no charges because other people are stealing
safes. Right,
it's
been done before, right? So we'll let you go. Yeah, no, right. We're not going to enforce the rules here whatsoever. I hate that argument. Well, other people do it. Well, other people didn't get caught. Too bad. You're going to get busted. That's the way it works.
David in the car. Go, Dave.
Yeah, so I know you guys like to hate on the data nerds, but they've got data on everything, right? So in theory, we ought to know or be able to figure out what's the actual benefit anybody got, right? So we know a guy like JBJ can't hit a curveball. Doesn't matter if you tell him a curveball's coming. But a guy like JD Martinez, does he start hitting curveballs better? Or does the team start hitting better in late innings after they've decoded the signs?
So, David,
these guys can slice and dice it all. We ought to be able to figure out what the actual benefit was, right?
So I can tell you what the benefit was. In the 2017 playoffs, Jose Altuve had an OPS over 1,500 at home and under 500 on the road. So that's a difference of 1,000 points. I'd say it had a pretty big effect. Like, to me, it doesn't have to be the same for every guy. And the answer is yes. Yes, they have data to support the science team. That's why they do it.
If Jackie Bradley knows a curveball is coming, he still can't hit that.
Yeah, but he hit 272 with runners in scoring position in 2018.
Well, no, but if he knows, a fastball is coming,
yeah, he can hit it.
That might help him.
Sure, it can.
Yep, he can't on the breaking pitches, and then he'll let those go, and he'll just wait not to hear the bang.
Correct.
Or wait not to hear the whistle or whatever it is they were doing, and then maybe that big home run in Houston in that ALCS. Who knows? Who knows with these two teams? And not that I'm shedding any tears for the Astros on that one. They get what they deserve on that one. Maybe someone beat them. Maybe that's what happened in 2018. Someone beat them at their own game. Back with you after this.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Never be left out of the conversation.
Never, not once.
Never, not once.
Never, not once.
Felger.
Good God, man. Have some pride.
Mads.
That guy's psychotic.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Stop it.
Alex was known, as somebody before he came here, as a player even, as somebody who could steal signs, whether it was illegally or, legally. Did you guys address that with him? Before, because of what happened in 2017 with the Apple Watch situation, and you guys had given some assurances to Major League Baseball that, it wouldn't happen again.
Yeah, look, I think it's clear that we're going to honor the commissioner's directive to not speak about the investigation. But it's also important to recognize that this collective mutual decision yesterday was related exclusively to the incidents that took place in Houston.
This is only for what happened in Houston. Then why should the Red Sox be punishing him for what he did in his past?
I agree. So, especially if the MLB investigation for 2018 doesn't turn anything up.
So what if, as they seem to imply or something, we got to withhold judgment until we see the results of the investigation here. If the Red Sox think they're on firm ground there, and this punishment, the firing, is only for what he did, why is he being fired for something he did with somebody else? Why would you do that?
Well, they would tell you that the look of it affects the credibility of the organization and the credibility of the manager.
Yeah.
And, because of what's happened in the past, it's like hiring someone with a record or something, right? Or a felony. Like, now the credibility of that person is in question. So, which I get, but I don't know. I told you, I think there's some sort of agreement there with MLB. And I don't know what it is, but I want to see
something
that
stinks.
Yeah, it doesn't feel right. It doesn't feel right. Again, on the one hand, they say reserve judgment. Reserve judgment until the next report comes out. But you fired your manager yesterday. Right. Well, yeah, but we fired him for what happened in Houston. Okay, why? I don't know. Maybe someone should have asked it in those terms. Why? You know what? Let them say that it affects their credibility.
Right.
You know, I went off on this. You weren't here today. I was watching it out in the lobby. I said this earlier, right outside the studio. And, like, there's nothing that bugs me more than the question for the soundbite or the quote. You know, how do you guys feel right now? Oh, we feel great. Yeah, no, things are good. I mean, what do you think they're going to say? How about...
He said, this is not ideal.
Right, so some of the other questions,
It's a bit of a pickle.
Did you discuss it with Alex in your interview with him? Did you know that this was, you know, there? Like, I have no problem with those questions. You're trying to get info, okay? The ones about how do you feel? Like, come on. Who gives a rat's ass how you feel? You should be hanging your head in shame. Like, really, there's nothing that drives me more bananas than those questions.
Matt in Ipswich, your thoughts?
Hey, Matt. Guys, how's it going?
It's going good.
Hey, question for Maz. What's the deal with being a base runner on second base? Are you allowed to steal signs at that point?
There's no rule against it.
Okay. So they kind of let them police themselves.
Well, so, yeah. Now, Matt, look, at another time, the way they would do it is if the other team caught you relaying signs from second base, they would either drill the guy who's at the plate or wait for you to come up and drill you, and then it would be over. And then maybe you'd have a brawl, and that was the end of it. Okay, you want to relay signs? Have a blast. Next time you come up, you're getting one right on the ass. And then the next one's going to hit you in the ribs, and we'll keep moving up every time you do it. Okay, so, like, there was a way to police it. You can't do that stuff anymore. Not really.
I'm telling you, I like to see the whole thing go bye-bye with some electronic communication between the catcher and the pitcher, the pitching coach and the pitcher, however they do this. Lights in the mound, number generators around their wrist, whatever. We gave you all these things that they're looking at.
Mike, it's coming.
They have to do it. And then eliminate the guy on second, eliminate the guy in the video room, eliminate the guy in center field. And I don't mean eliminate him, like eliminate his usefulness, meaning dance around all you want out there. Put all the cameras you want in center field. Dink around in the video room as much as you want. Run around all over the stadium taping anything you want. The pitch is going right into the pitcher's ear or only where he can see it on the mound. Exactly. Our own little Marvin thing out there.
Simon.
Marvin. Okay. So this is one of the ideas out there. Little lights in the mound that only the pitcher can see. And this means you don't have to police squat. Let everyone run around with cameras as much as they like. No one can get the signs.
Do, 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 do. It's coming. Manfred told Verducci 2 days ago the protocols will be in place for the start of the season.
This year?
Oh, I think so. They're going to have something in place for the start of this year.
Baseball never moves that fast. No way.
Oh, they do when they have to.
We'll be lucky if we get this in 3 years.
I don't know. The Astros moved pretty quick the other day.
Wait, hold on. You're saying the random number generator and the Simon in the mound is going to be out here by this April, this March?
So I don't know if it's going to be that. But
no way with the lights.
No way!
You have to install that technology. There's no shot.
Okay, so I didn't say it would be the lights. I said there will be something in place for this year. I will find exactly what the story said.
You think so?
You keep flapping your gums and
no,
I'll find it.
Now I'm Googling. Yeah, I mean, you think we're just screwing around with that? We're serious. They were talking about that.
Yep.
What's the date today?
MLB to
15th.
Rob Manfred, MLB, absolutely will implement new protocols by opening day to prevent cheating.
Okay, so new protocols, that's different.
Just a sign in the clubhouse that says stop cheating.
Right.
Yeah, okay, so the only monitor...
Right next to the no pepper sign.
Yeah.
Excellent.
We are not done on 2020 protocols, no. So they might get rid of the monitors, the replay monitors. That might be the first step. And, I can't read the rest of it to you right now.
Okay. I want those number generators. I'm just.
Well, you're not going to get that. Now.
I'm trying to find my story.
The quick pick. That might be the dumbest of all.
The random number generator.
Yeah, I usually play my mom's birthday, my dad's birthday, and the day my dog died. But I want a quick pick. Throw that. What's that pitch?
MLB has examined the possibility of changing the way pitchers and catchers communicate using a series of lights. The pitching rubber would have lights embedded in it, visible only to the pitcher. and the catcher would have a device to trigger the appropriate light to indicate a specific pitch.
Oh, well, all right, you could set this up.
Despite whatever protocol changes come in 2020, Manfred made it be known with his discipline of the Astros that MLB is...
Wait, no, so hold on. But they've got to install the little light panel in every mound in the league?
Yeah, and just the rubber. So you make these new pitching rubbers with the light code in it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's pretty simple.
With Bluetooth.
Yeah.
Everything's got Bluetooth now, no problem.
We're laughing. The game needs it.
They're headed to that, I'm telling you.
The game needs it. The days of the pitcher stepping off the mound and talking into his glove and the catcher running out when there's no one on base has to come to an end. Has to come to an end. The sign stealing has helped grind the game to a halt. It's ground to a halt. With resetting signs with no one on base and pitchers talking into their glove and catchers running out to the mound with no one on base because teams are stealing signs and banging on garbage cans. It has helped slow the game down, and they've got to get that back. So give me lights, number generators, whatever it takes.
I'm in.
We've got our buddy Tom and Quincy. Hi, Tommy.
Hey, what's going on? the Marvin sounds is not Maz is making over there. Hey, I didn't get to hear tons of the press conference because I only was listening in my truck between jobs. So I've been catching most of the ones you guys have been playing on coming back and stuff. But, I mean, one, the whole thing was useless. They don't say anything ever anyway. And, you know, they speak in the Theo speak where everything, there's a million words, but nothing really gets spoken. But it's the one they just played before, probably like 10 minutes ago with Bloom. And he was just kind of like, well, it's not ideal. And he's so monotone, and there's no emotion, and this and that. And you get done, and you're looking at him, and his eyes are wide open. He's just stone cold, right?
He's a bot. Tom, he's a bot. He's not a human being. He's a bot.
Mike, in his head, he must be going, what the F did I get myself into? Because he's thinking, he's coming here, money galore, draft picks, manager, everything. Now he has no manager, draft picks going out the door, no friggin' idea how much money he can spend, who he can keep, who he has to get rid of. It's a total S show for the poor guy. I mean, I didn't want him to begin with, but Jesus, give the guy a break.
Seriously, though, I told you
he's in a tough spot.
Oh my gosh, not to mention the fact that one of the things they brought him in to do was to cut payroll. Then the owner tells everybody that they want to cut payroll. So now he's trying to trade guys with money and everybody's lowballing him because they know he's going to dump the contracts. It's like there was someone up on that dais to have a little bit of compassion for today, and it was Chaim Bloom.
Here comes Murray's update, and we're right back with more of your thoughts.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Felger and Maz.
On Monday, within the hour of the Astros' discipline being announced, the general manager and manager were fired. Within 30 hours, your manager was fired. Was there any input from Major League Baseball suggesting that perhaps moving on from personnel might be a good idea for the organization?
No.
And I'd just like to clarify one thing you said. You said within 30 hours your manager was fired. That's not accurate. It was a meeting and a collective decision to part ways on Alex's side and on our side. So I just want to stress that, and that's an important fact here.
That what you're talking about, Murray?
That's the best. I have to correct you. I have to correct you with my spineless corporate doublespeak. It's not a firing. It was a mutual decision to part ways. So please don't call it a firing. It's a mutual decision to part ways. Like, how disingenuous.
I mean, that's where people start to say, all right, already. Like, enough. You know, stop feeding it to us. And I've said this a million times. Unfortunately, I have a conscience. Like, Sam Kennedy and me is, I love Sam. I mean, most
that's
of
not
us,
accurate.
Most of us do. But that's the kind of stuff we got when Duquette was GM. Like, it was like, you know, and I'm going back to, you know, 30 years on 25 years. It's like, come on. All right. Like, just let the question go. You didn't say it. Someone in the, you know, in the media assembly did. Just let it go. Don't.
And it's also Sean McAdam, who's been around baseball like forever. It's not some, you know, flame throwing a-hole like Byron Barnett just trying to break balls. You know what I mean? Like, he's calling it for what it is.
And it's not you saying it's him saying it. Let it go.
Exactly. So, just ignore it. Ignore it.
Anyway.
That's not what the press release reads.
That's not accurate. It was a meeting and a collective decision to part ways on Alex's side and on our side. So I just want to stress that. And that's an important fact here.
Mike on the landline, what do you think?
Well, earlier you said cheating is subjective. Not every team does it. I'm going to try to back your theory, but don't make fun of me. All-Star Home Run Derby. They have a lollipop pitch, and they know it's coming, and sometimes they could even pass on it. And then you see ground ball, foul ball, routine fly ball, etc. So there's no guarantee if you know a pitch is coming that at the right moment you can get a hit. So is it worth the percentage of taking that chance?
So there's people who think that it's not worth it.
I agree. And the sample size I'm giving you tells me that the Astros, without cheating, is still going to win the division. Compare those stats to the stats of the cheating, see if they're comparable, and go from there.
Yeah, in the report, A.J. Hinch called it a distraction, which I can see.
Totally.
And I know some players don't want to know. You know, it crawls inside their head. Fastball, off-speed, fastball, off-speed, fastball. And then they start, like, they're bouncing around inside their own head, and they can't get out of their own head. And so I think it's totally debatable whether it was worth how could A.J. Hinch or Alex Cora today? Guys who will be out of the game for a year, years, maybe for a long, long time, maybe never regain their livelihood. How could they possibly sit here today and say that that was worth it?
They can't.
It's not.
They can't. Now, in the same breath, if you know what's coming, your chances of getting a hit are way better.
Sure. And then on average, it's going to pan out.
Way better. So, and again, now you want me to put a percentage on it? I don't know. 30% better? 50% better? Somewhere in there. If I know what's coming, my chance of hitting it are way better.
Ben and Attleboro, your thoughts, Ben.
Hey, guys. You were saying earlier that with the penalties coming down, it's more likely they're going to keep bets, but I think it's the complete opposite. I think now with trading bets would be their opportunity to not only get prospects, but if Betts wasn't staying before, he's not going to stick around with a team that doesn't have any trade chips.
So it's not his choice this year. I mean, the team controls his rights this year.
Correct.
So
you just don't trade him.
I mean, next year's next year. Yeah. He chooses to leave. That was in place whether this happened or not. I'm talking about their approach this year. Now, they could do the totally opposite and say, you know what? This is a perfect chance just to reset. You know, the whole thing blew up in the offseason, so we're going to ditch the payroll. We're going to get porked on these draft picks, so we might as well save the ones we can save through the CBT. We might as well reset because this is going to be a lost year, and we're just going to take our medicine, take our lumps for 1 year, take a step back, and then come back in 2 years, guns blazing. And, you know, they could do that too.
Sure.
I'm hoping they take the other approach.
Okay, but your original question on this topic, and I'm just saying for the benefit of the listeners, was will what happened today affect their approach with the team on the field?
Yeah.
And either way.
It has to.
Right. In some way, it's got to affect it. Now, again, whether it's significant enough to make them want to part ways with Betts or keep them, I don't know. But in some way, it has to affect the way they're approaching it.
James in the car, go.
Hey, guys. You know, as far as the effect of knowing what the pitch is going to be, I think people are completely downplaying this. Because, and I think, Tony, you're right, up to 50%, but I think it's even more than 50%. Because if you have a pitcher, and I forget it was in Sports Illustrated a while back, where they knew, he admitted that they knew that what pitch was coming. If you have a pitcher that has a fastball and an off-speed pitch, that is huge. That's going to be up to 70% if the batter knows what's coming. And the other thing is, as far as the Red Sox are concerned with Cora and everything, they need to stop calling themselves the stewards of the team. Please call yourselves the ownership, not the stewards who have been here for, you know, 15 years.
That's not accurate.
They just took zero ownership, zero responsibility, zero. And I'm not telling you they're totally responsible, but they hired the guy. He represented their organization, and they're under investigation by Major League Baseball for him doing the similar kind of cheating that he did in the place before, and that has caused mass suspensions and firings and millions of dollars of losses. And you hired that guy, and he did something similar for you, allegedly. And no acknowledgement of that today. None. Zero. Complete running from it. Matt in Georgetown, your take.
Hey, guys, I just wanted to get your thoughts on Big Poppy as being the next manager. I'll hang up and see what you guys have to say. Thank you.
No shot.
No. I mean, honestly, A, I don't think he would want to do it, but B, I don't think he's the right kind of guy. And so, you know, he doesn't have the patience for it. I mean, Ortiz would lose his mind
right.
on that job.
It would actually make him unlikable eventually.
He would lose his mind having to deal with questions from us, you know, when I say us, the collective media every day. He'd be looking at it like, boy, you guys are a bunch of a-holes. Seriously. And I'm surprised we haven't heard the name yet today.
Oh, it's so refreshing.
But no. No.
The answer is, if people will stop calling me saying Jason Veritek should be the next manager, if it takes making him the manager to end those calls, I'll accept him as manager.
Okay, so my...
Just to end those calls.
And listen, I
But
think,
how come you're a no?
I think he'd be a terrific bench coach. Like, again, a guy who can watch the game, pick stuff up, give the manager his insights. But in terms of relationships with the players, he got along great with his teammates. But he will be intolerant of guys who are not as committed as he was as a player. And... he's not exactly media friendly. And I don't think he's nasty, but he's not telegenic. And that's a factor too. He's just not there.
Well, according to Bet Online, he is the odds on favorite to become the Red Sox manager.
All right, yeah. give me the list.
3-1. It's Jason Veritek. Hensley Mullins, Maz?
Yeah, he used to play for the Yankees. I think I don't know what he's doing now, but obviously he's in their system.
Isn't he a DH?
Yeah, he's like a third baseman, too. Yeah, Bam Bam Mullins.
7-2 odds. Mark Kotze, 5-1 odds.
Jesus.
Carlos Fabelis, 6-1. Eduardo Perez, 6-1.
I think Kotze is like the equivalent of, I can't remember. Who was the guy for the Patriots who left to go to the Texans after the Kraft scandal?
Oh, Jack Easterby.
Jack Easterby. He's the
he's
quality
a character
control.
Coach?
Yeah.
No, he's a former player.
Okay, go
on. But Easterby was the team chaplain and character coach.
Yeah.
Character coach, that's what Kotze was.
No, that's well, if ever a team needed one, go ahead.
Matt Quartaro, who I think is one of the bench coaches in Tampa, 6-1. Dusty Baker, 9-1. Tim Bogar, 10-1. Craig Breslow, 12-1. Ron Renicki, 16-1. What do they know there? Brad Ausmus, 20-1. Bruce Bochy, 25-1. And David Ortiz, 50-1 odds.
Okay, so it sounds like, based on what Chaim Bloom was saying over there today, that the chances of it being someone from Tampa are slim. That, you know, sometimes there are things put in place that you can't pluck anyone from the organization, you know, which would also kill my Kevin Cash theory. But I told you, I would go with Eduardo Perez. I like the idea of a bilingual manager, particularly with some of the good young players the Red Sox have.
Sam on the Cape, what do you got for us?
Hey, guys, how are you?
Good.
Thanks for having me. Listen, I just wanted to ask, like, is this really a surprise to anybody? Because I just remember in 18 watching him in the post-interviews, and I just always said to myself, there's something about this guy that just isn't rubbing me the right way.
So cocky, Cam. Sam, he acted like he had all the answers, right?
Right, and he was, you know, he wasn't very, like, even the nicest. I don't know what it was. I just always said that win in 18, just it almost felt like a handout. It almost felt like they were a step. They weren't that best of a ball club, and they had the step on everybody. And I was the one who always said, like, I can't trust that guy.
Well, from the day he got here, he acted like he had all the answers. Thanks for the call, Sam.
True.
He acted like, and it's like, boy, and I remember we've said it. We had segments about it. It's like, what? How was this guy so cocky? Like, where did that attitude come from?
Even Henry said it.
And so, right, that the one thing I was worried about with him was his overconfidence. And he definitely carried himself that way. And he acted like a guy who had all the answers. And it turns out he had some of the answers. That's what it is.
Yeah.
I mean, right?
No question. Yeah, no question about it. Now, I will tell you that I think, you know, I think Cora's a good manager. You know, is he the greatest thing ever? No. So part of me says this is a significant loss for the Red Sox. He was good at it. I mean, I think he was good at dealing with the players, too. They trusted him. they bought into him, you know, and that worked. Particularly, again, look at some of the players that improved under him. So I'd like to see them continue that, you know, in terms of the organization going forward. So Eduardo Perez can tap into Bogarts or Eduardo Rodriguez or Rafael Devers. Those are really the big ones. But, you know, there's a loss there for the Red Sox, which I think you got from them today and in the statement. They didn't want to do this. I don't think they wanted, they didn't want to go anywhere near it, and they felt like they had to. So, you know, but look, at the end of the day, it's a manager. And I don't think managers in baseball are all that important as long as they don't screw it up.
Okay, thus concludes the Red Sox bashing portion of the program.
That's not accurate.
Three hours and 50 minutes of it. Old school.
Oh, yeah, no, don't.
In the middle of January.
Old school Red Sox bloodbath.
It's awesome.
Warmed my heart. But it brought me back to my youth.
Now it's over. At 6 o'clock, the off-air show returns. Myself and Big Jim Murray.
That's right.
Big Jim Murray's going to join us on Facebook Live. It's presented by Ace Ticket. 6 p.m. Join us on Facebook Live, also on the Twitch thing. I think. I don't even know about that.
But, yes, Twitch.
Okay, Facebook Live and Twitch, wherever you do that. Murray will come and swear his face off and do some other stuff.
That's not accurate.
No, it's totally accurate. That's at 6 coming up next.
It was a meeting and a collective decision to part ways.
Okay. Collective. The final word is next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com. Felger's expert analysis.
Not from this talk radio crazy.
Maz's hard-hitting questions.
What am I, like the freaking abrasive police here?
The caller's bringing knowledge to the table.
Maz, the adults are talking.
It's time to recap this four-hour show in 4 minutes. It's the final word on Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
And the final word brought to you by Town Fair Tire. If you're looking for the best deal on tires, there's only one place to go. That's Town Fair Tire. The best prices and great free services. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire.
Nobody.
Nobody.
Nope.
All right, one piece of sound to get to today in the final word. Had a lot of fun at the expense of the Boston Red Sox today, what with how they handled the firing. I mean, mutual agreement with Alex Cora. And specifically, yours truly had some fun mocking the steward of the operation, John Henry.
If the Red Sox were doing something wrong, that is, there is no exoneration for ownership. You are responsible for the actions of your employees.
Yeah, I'm just telling you what's going to be in the report. That's all I'm telling you. I mean, listen, it happens in your organization. You own the team. It's on you. At the end of the day, that's it. No, there's no way to avoid that.
No, Alex went rogue.
This is the price of ownership, right? You're ultimately responsible for everything.
He called himself the deflator. He was trying to lose weight.
And, you know, to Bob's point about, you know, when they brought him in, why would they question about anything that might have happened? The report didn't come out until 2019. They played them in 2017. And don't kid yourself, the Red Sox knew the Astros were up to something in 2017. Because a year later, when Cora was playing them in the playoffs, they couldn't point fingers at each other fast enough. Because they both knew they were dirty.
Absolutely.
Why do these shows keep ignoring the science?
That's the whole reason the Red Sox hired Cora. Because these guys are going to pull that crap. We're going to give them a little bit, you know, not the whole reason. But, you know, that was part of the whole dynamic. The Red Sox knew what was going on in that dugout in 2017. They got their asses kicked. They didn't need the report in 2019. We did, but they didn't.
Of course.
It was under 30 degrees today.
But, Bob, good call.
I went out to my Bentley and all the tires were flat. Explain that, Felger.
It's coming.
SignStealingInContext.com.
I love it. Love it.
I already bought the domain. You take your hands off of her.
Right. Here comes Jones and Arcan. Arcan, what has Jones got cooking up for?
Well, again, a 30-minute show here, but we have a lot to react to from the press conference today. You guys want to see my impression of John Henry when he was done with his opening statement?
Yes.
That was Arcan pushing away from the table.
Yes, that was what I was doing. I liked how he did that. I also loved the pregnant pause after they asked if Alex Cora should ever manage again. I thought that was very telling as well. Really stupid press conference overall, but I liked that Chaim Bloom was there, you know, to answer all the questions his participation in this big scheme.
He had a lot of input into that one.
Yeah.
Capital depleted, draft picks deleted, sadness setting in.
Guy's useless.
Yeah, he's not an actual human being, just a computer program. Does that about sum it up there, Jones?
Yeah, well, I wanted to talk about the press conference, but the Red Sox just made a big, big trade. They just made a big eye-opening trade. Sam Travis on the way out of town. So good job by the Red Sox trying to steal the headlines. They have changed the narrative here in Boston. So we're going to have to react.
Big deflection. Yeah, they got a left-handed pitcher with a 6.5 ERA for him.
Yep. I have no idea what you people are talking about. Here comes
they made a trade for Jeffrey Springs.
Wow. All right, well. Jones and Arcan now, the off-air show. Also, right now, myself and Murray on Facebook Live. Click on the computer if you're not listening to Jones here, and we'll talk to you there. Otherwise, we're back at tomorrow at 2. We'll see you then, Anthony.
Bye-bye.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.